All week, several people have been asking me, so what night do you preach? What night do you preach? And I'm starting to think, what does that mean? I guess I'm known to be one of the hard ones or something. I don't know. But anyway, I'm thinking now maybe I should have studied a little more. He's talking about me being all wise and everything smart. I'm really not smart or anything like that, but I am thankful to be here. I'm thankful to be a missionary wife. And I'm thankful for the 6 years we've had in Puebla, Mexico. We've been working there for 6 years. And we've been recently really encouraged by the women that have been added to the church there. This is who Adi and I work with. This is who we deal with on a weekly, daily basis sometimes. And it's recently just been very encouraging, several things that I'd like to share with you first. The unity among these women is just a really refreshing thing. It's not automatic in any city that you go to, in any country that you go to, even in churches here in the United States. Sometimes there are cliques and separations that sometimes don't even make sense. It might be by economic or intelligence. No, I'm just kidding. but there's really none of that there in Puebla, and I'm so thankful for that. It's really refreshing. They have a truly love for one another, these women, and that's really great to see. And this just kind of is from the Lord. We know that it's not, you know, something we've done, but it's the Lord working in them and through them. They have a love for the church. They really do. They do their very best to be there, and they share almost every single open meeting, each woman there. And, you know, that's a difficult thing to do. I know it's difficult for anybody, a man or a woman. I know that anybody the first few times is just nerve-wracking. Well, even after many years, it still is. But, you know, it's their love for the church that drives that. It's not anything else. It's not for vainglory. But it's because they do love the church. They want to see the church grow, and they want to have a part in it. They want to participate. They have a heart for the Lord. They have a heart for his work. And they do desire to see more people serving there, and especially the ones that are women that have a husband that is saved and going to the meetings. And so that is what we are praying for right now. Obviously, we want them to continue and to take heed to themselves and their own personal testimony and keep walking well. But we also see their desire to see their husbands raised up to do something in the church there, to serve, to preach, to lead maybe one day, whatever the Lord calls their husbands to do. And so recently I shared something with them before we came up from Puebla. And so I'd like to share something very similar to that today with y'all. I'm kind of speaking more to the women and to myself as well, trust me. And so the verses and the things I want to mention, I just want to say that that these are things that is a constant battle. I realize that, but it's not impossible, and I've seen it in people around me. I thank God for the people in my life that I've had that have been these examples of not being a hindrance to their husband. And even to their own selves, I mean, I could go there or to their children, but I really would like to focus on not being a hindrance to their husband. Because we do, this is really such a big part of the works that we do in Mexico that we are involved in, is leaving these works in the hands of some men that can lead, that can be elders, and that can serve the church. But a big part of that is the women that are by their side. And so I'd like to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. You know, none of us women are ever exempt from the danger of being a stumbling block to our husband in the ministry. And so this is like I said, it was a conviction to me to look at these things, to really consider them. And I do see in the past where I have been at times a hindrance, a stumbling block. But I want to take heed to some of the things that the Lord just kind of pressed upon my heart. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, and starting in verse 10, talking about the deacons, which is one of the things that soon we are hoping to, that's our prayer, and we ask for you to pray that with us, that soon we will be able to see some deacons raised up in that church there, pastors. But in verse 10 it says, "And let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things." And, you know, this is one of the characteristics of being a godly woman, somebody that their husband could be used by God, and obviously them as well, because anybody that is a leader in the church, an elder, a pastor, a deacon, the women tend to kind of flock to their wives or go to their wives for advice or for help. And so it's really almost impossible for that woman to just say, "I don't want to be involved." I mean, it's kind of like you're involved whether you want to be or not. You're an example whether you've asked for it or not. And so I'd like to also turn to Titus chapter 2, and starting in verse 3, Titus 2 verse 3, it says, "The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." It's a very tall order. It's a very some very intimidating verses. However, all of this is possible through God's Holy Spirit that dwells within us. And so I ask first for your prayers for the women in Puebla, that they would be able to see that they have a great opportunity to actually encourage their husbands. We don't know who the Lord is going to set up there. We don't know who it is that the Lord's going to use in a leadership role, but I have faith that he is going to do that in his time, in his way. And so I just kind of want to mention some spiritual and also some very practical ways that I've shared with the women there that are ways to not hinder God moving in your husband. The first one is really practical, but it's something that we deal with in Puebla. I'm sure probably any church deals with, is people that come late all the time. Pretty much that's their MO, that's their that's their habit. But I've told these women, and believe me, sometimes it's me too, don't be the reason he's late to church. You know, and to me, that's one of the characteristics here, keepers at home. You know, if you're really diligent, get the kids ready early, be sitting down at 9 a.m., whatever, we're ready to go. So if he's running late, well, that's on him, you know. I'm sorry, I mean, well, yeah. I mean, blameless, you know. I mean, let's try to get some of the blame to where God can't say, okay, it was you, you know. So these are just some practical things. And I do want your prayers for this, because these really are things that we struggle with. These are things that we can be there at 10:15 and we're the only ones there, and it's discouraging. You know, yeah, they come and they show up, but it's like, wow, if they could just get a hold of this. And it's so simple, and most of us, I'm sure, here in this room decided that a long time ago. We're going to leave at this time no matter what. You got your makeup on, doesn't matter. Your shoes match, it doesn't matter. More important things. The next one would be, don't be the reason that he is discouraged by the church. And one of the things that we just read, not slanderers and not false accusers. You know, it's so easy on the way home, you know, to, oh, man, that message, you know, oh, that was ridiculous or whatever. You know, well, don't let it be you that instigates that conversation. You know, he might be, you know, roasting the preacher the whole way home or whatever. But don't let it be you that discourages him about the church and the members in the church. You know, we're all flawed. We're all just sinners saved by grace. So that's one of the things that the Lord just showed me. Again, another one is, don't be the swayer. In other words, don't try and sway him towards what you prefer. And when I say this, I'm kind of talking also about when when you see God maybe speaking to your husband or impressing upon him maybe to go somewhere as a missionary or to take a part in the church, don't be the one that says, well, I think you'd kind of be better just being one of the seat warmers, you know, or maybe just clean the bathrooms. I think that's pretty much your area. Don't, because maybe your ulterior motive is, I really don't want to have to be here at 9 o'clock. I'd rather just come at 10. And so again, these truly are practical things that we need your prayer for these women, for these men. But since I deal with the women, that's where I'm pointing out right now. Okay, so another one is, and again, like I said, one of the things we just read is obedient, faithful in all things. Wow, that's a huge one. Faithful in all things. Like, I can't even attain that, so forget it. Well, no, be faithful in all things that you can be faithful in. It is attainable. It is doable. And God can actually move in you, in your church, in your home, if you can do that. Don't minimize the need for the gospel to be spread. Don't minimize the need for people to be fed spiritually. I'd like to look at Isaiah 32. some verses that just really hit me and just kind of some adjectives that are used here. And talking about not minimizing the need. Again, like I said, if somebody, you know, if all of a sudden your husband tells you, I feel called to go to the mission field, I'm telling you that could be one of the very first thing that pops up in your head. Well, you know, there's others that are doing it, and I don't think we need another missionary or whatever it could be. Again, some of the things we read here, be sober, be grave. I mean, you know, be serious about what's really going on in this world, what's really needful, and where your husband could be used, and you yourself as well. In Isaiah 32, and starting in verse 9, it says, rise up, ye women that are at ease. Hear my voice, ye careless daughters. Give ear unto my speech. Just stopping there, careless daughters, women that are at ease, this just caught my attention, you know. I think that sometimes women in general, I think we do have the tendency to just kind of be at ease about some things maybe and not be really grave and serious and sober about what's really important. It goes on and says, many days and years shall ye be troubled, ye careless women, for the vintage shall fail, the gathering shall not come. Tremble, ye women that are at ease. Be troubled, ye careless ones. Strip you and make you bare and gird sackcloth upon your loins. I think it's like an imploring to really wake up. You know, there are spiritual battles that are so much bigger than petty problems that our focus sometimes is on. Jumping to verse 13, upon the land of my people shall come up thorns and briars, yea, upon all the houses of joy in the joyous city, because the palaces shall be forsaken, the multitude of the city shall be left, the forts and towers shall be for dens forever, a joy of wild asses, a pasture of flocks. And then it says, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. I just love that last verse that I read there. You know, there is potential. There is potential for blessing, the blessing of God to be showered on all of these works, in all of these churches. But there's also potential for destruction, for falling away. And I think it calls for a little bit of sober minds. Among us women, like I said, I'm talking to me and I'm asking for your prayers for our women in Puebla too, that this would also be their testimony, that they would not minimize the need for their husbands to get to work in the work of the Lord and to serve in whatever way he calls them to do that. I have a quote from a wife, an article that I read about a husband that had been seriously convinced that he was called to the mission field, but yet his wife was so resentful and so hurt and just could not see herself doing this. And she said, I don't think I can support his desire that he has to preach. His calling is hijacking my future. And, you know, I read that and I think, oh, that's horrible, you know. But, you know, if I'm honest with myself, maybe I'm willing to go just to there. you know, but not to there, you know. Like, I have my ideas for our future, you know. And just honestly speaking, I mean, years ago when we were, I guess, in Morelia, and they were thinking about the next city or whatever, and John would always say, what do you think about Mexico City, you know, and I'd be like, okay, anywhere but Mexico City, you know, and I don't know why. I mean, it's ridiculous. Now I've been to Mexico City plenty of times, and the truth is, I mean, anywhere in Mexico, I mean, anything could happen. But, you know, I had that, no, up to there, you know, that's it. And, you know, that is just minimizing the need. That's not being sober enough or grave enough to see truly that God might be calling him there. And so the next thing that I'd like to mention is another way to not hinder, is don't be the reason that your husband hesitates to even seek ministry, or that he doubts or fears the ministry. Because we do see in Puebla, we do see many men that somehow seem to be a little fearful, a little hesitant, you know, and not real sure of the reason why. But what I tried to teach these women is, don't let it be you the reason why, you know, that you're holding them back, that you're not really letting them know that you believe in him, that you believe that God can use him. And so I asked them, and I would ask you, I would ask myself, do our husbands know that we believe in them, that we truly see their potential? And obviously only because God lives in them, because it's God moving through them. I think that's so important. You know, we live in a day and age where mothers are so worried about their kids knowing, you can do anything, you know, you can do it, you can be the president, you can be whatever you want to be, you know, and that's great, you know, I mean, your kids need to know that, but how much more our husbands, you know, how often do I really let him know that, and sincerely, not just like, you know, with my pom-poms, ooh, you can do it, you know, really sincerely, heartfelt, I'm proud of you. I know God can use you. You just keep going. You know, be an encourager. Don't drag him down. Build him up. And then other practical way to make sure that you're not the one hindering in the way of that he's hesitating to even want to do something for God is try to serve together if you can. In Luke, I'd like to look in Luke 16 and verse 10. And it can be... It can be little things, and again, this is what I ask for your prayer for the women in Puebla and the couples there, the men there too, that they would together serve the Lord, start participating. In Luke 16:10, it says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that's unjust in the least is unjust also in much. So, you know, just kind of getting your feet wet and starting, and whatever it is, you know, taking a mission trip, passing out tracts, hosting somebody that's coming into town, you know, these practical things I believe really can make a difference as far as a mindset and changing our mindset. Another thing which again I'm guilty of is don't try to be the Holy Spirit. You know, there's a balance there, you know, of like pushing, like, why didn't you do this or why didn't you say this, you know. You know, encourage, build up, but also balance that out with not being too pushy, you know, and just encourage, you know, that's what could really be something that takes that stumbling block out of the way. And trust God for your future. Study his promises more too, so that you can work on trusting God. I remember when and it was 1993 when we were at a mission conference like this, and I think it was like a Thursday or something, and we were just coming to the meetings, and we were working and getting here and, you know, the whole thing and enjoying the meetings or whatever. And I wasn't praying, God, call us to a mission field if that's what you want. I wasn't. I was really focused on my life. I'd only been married a year, and I was just happy, you know, and just kind of enjoying life. And that's when John, one night in bed, just kind of told me, I'm pretty sure God's called me to Mexico. And that just kind of blew me away, you know. And I was like, what? And but it was like, and trust me, it wasn't because of my great faith or something, but all I could say was, okay, well, we'll just pray about it. You know, we'll just see what God shows you. But I was just scared, you know, that fear, that doubt, our future. I mean, you know, wait a minute, I had a plan, you know. But God can just bless and take care of you, and take you places you never imagined, and show you things that he'll never forget. And you can't even describe sometimes, but they're powerful. And it's important for us to remember that we do have the potential to hinder God's work, again, in our own lives, in the lives of our children, our church. But again, I'm talking to the wives, for our husbands, and I'm talking to myself. So I would just ask you that you pray for the women in Puebla, for me, for the other missionary women, because I think this is a constant battle of surrendering and getting things out of the way and in these practical ways, just making sure that God can do whatever he wants to do with us. And if we're holding on to some of these things, it can be a hindrance. Even reactions to news or to things that we weren't expecting, it can sow those seeds of doubt and fear and discouragement, things that can hinder the work. And so I would just ask you to consider these things too. If maybe God's moving on your husband this week, or maybe God's moving on you to do something yourself. And if any of these walls, these barriers, get too big of a hold, it could potentially hinder God's work in you, in this church, and potentially the world, the truth is. And it might be your little world, or it might be another country. And so I would just ask that that we put away fear, that we be awake and aware, and that we could be encouraging one another, watching our actions and our reactions, and hopefully and by God's will, he'd be able to use us all in a mighty way, the way he sees fit.